Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues, amazed and perplexed. They asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, this is the story of that tells us that the disciples still gathered in one place, still not going out and professing the word of God, do so once the Holy Spirit has come upon them. And the Holy Spirit empowers them to be able to speak in the various tongues of all peoples that are there in that place, in that region. And so this is, in many ways, what we celebrate. But God, you see, in this story is saying he wasn't finished with them. They had spent 3 years following Jesus. They had seen the miracles. They had heard all the teachings. They had responded to Jesus' command from place to place to place. They have seen him die. They have seen him buried, and they have seen him risen from the grave, and they have seen him ascend into heaven, and now they wait, and God does not leave them comfortless, but gives them the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit dwells where? On the tongues of men, in the heart of mankind, in humankind, with us, close. Not far away, but close. And I want you young graduates to hear this. God is never far from you. You may encounter times, I'm going to say not may, you will encounter times in your life that are devastating to you, that may be hurtful to you. I want you to remember this. Even then, God is not far, but close, just as the Holy Spirit is upon you and lives in you. And our bodies are as the temple of God. And so all the things that we go through in this life, the good, and even when we encounter the evils of this world, or even when we might rebel against God, God is still present for you and with you. There's a lot of commencement speeches that have taken place. You've heard of a few that have kind of gotten notoriety this week. The kicker from Kansas City, Harrison, I don't know, Rutger, I guess is his name. And huh? Butker, okay. And you've heard of other people from times past. Billy Graham gave a commencement speech several times. And one of the things that he said in one of his commencement speeches was this. One of the things talking about young people, what you think you have a lot of is this time. But it is a great equalizer. It doesn't matter how wealthy you become or how wealthy your family is or how poor they are or how smart one is or how an intelligent community you come from or whatever or how healthy you are. Time is something you cannot purchase. And it is therefore to be thought of, how do I utilize the time given to me to do what is good and right, moral, and godlike? One of the reasons we gave scriptures out. And let me tell you, this is a great book. Not just because it's the Bible, but it's also, and I know it's kind of heavy, so you're not going to put it in your backpack and carry it around places. But it's good for your bedside. And just to pick it up and to read it from time to time, if not daily, just a chapter or two or three. And just to pray over it. And let it feed you. It's a study Bible, so you can even look up things that might be like, what does that mean? Explain that. It helps you do that. And it is good for us as a church to implore upon you the scriptures, first and foremost, above any other book that you may receive or read from here on out. Whatever the study is that you go into, the Bible will be more important to you and more valuable to you than anything else. It will teach you how to react to other people. It will teach you how to understand your relationship with Christ Jesus. It will develop you how to become a parent. Listen, I want you to know. I want you to know that your parents have been faithful to you, carrying you to church, carrying you to Sunday school, honoring God in doing so, and seeking to do what they were asked to do at your baptism, and what we were asked to do as a church at your baptism, to lead a life accordingly, that they would grow up to know you, O Heavenly Father, and know your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, and receive the Holy Spirit to live with them now and forever. We had the responsibility to lead, guide, and direct. But now, you're 18, about to be 19. And I say this jokingly, you know everything. No. I don't know everything. Your parents don't know everything. But what we do know, we have sought to share with you. And we will seek to be there for you. Hopefully in the many years to come. As a church, as parents, and most certainly the Holy Spirit and God's holy word. That being said, God has completed in you many things already. But he's not through, just as he was not through with these disciples, that they should just spend those 3 years with Jesus, and that they should just know that he was risen from the grave, and then that's it. Finished. God's work is finished, but he's not through with us. He's not through with you, growing you, maturing you in faith, just as I and all the adults here in this room are still maturing in faith. We are learning and growing in things that we did not understand 5 years ago or 10 years ago or when we too were 18 and graduating from high school. We could not understand because we needed to give more time and thought, more study, more prayer time, more focus, more time in church, more time to truly understand what is going on in the world around us, and yet we are still growing. God is not through with you. God is not finished with you. He's still completing the work. Did the disciples throw out all the teachings from Jesus? Or some of them? No, they didn't throw out any of them. Not any of them. No, in fact, Peter is utilizing what he learned from Jesus here and apply it. You can apply what you have learned from the scriptures and from Jesus and apply it in the classroom even, in your interactions with people, the relationships that you have, in analyzing what is good for you and what is not, in your relationships that you will develop to determine which ones are ones that will be helpful to you and which ones are harmful to you. To thoughts that are helpful to you, to thoughts that will be harmful to you. Use the Holy Spirit and the scriptures to discern what is good and useful. And what you have learned, do not throw it out. Do not throw it away or cast it away. Let me tell you, there are people who will want you to enter into a time of being a blank slate once again. There are professors, if you go to college, that will seek to do that. That's sad. It wasn't always the case. Now, I am for learning. I am for the institutions of learning. But not so much what they have become today. How many of us would seek to enter into a day tomorrow where there was no electricity in all of the United States of America? Just none. No understanding of how to develop it or to harness it or discover it. How foolish we would be to want to enter into that time frame, would it? Instead, we would want the resources of what we have learned and continue to apply them day after day after day. Listen, utilize what you have learned in faith. Do not cast it off because someone wants you to. And there will be people who will want you to. And it isn't always professors. Sometimes it's the people that you meet that come from all places who will consider your faith to be hogwash. And they will try to dissuade you. I've come across those folks in my life as well. Every person here has. You don't have to go to college to find those things. While I was at UGA, there was a guy there. I don't think you'll come across him still, but he was there not too long ago when Sarah was there, but he was there back in the 1988 to 1990 when I was at UGA. That's a long time ago now. His name was Pastor Jim or Preacher Jim, I think they called him. I may be wrong on the name, but he was a guy that came through the school and he preached out in Tate Center in the courtyard there to anybody who would hear him, and he would yell insults, mainly at the women. He would call them all kinds of names like Jezebel and names I don't want to repeat here. And tell them that they were going to the bad place, going to hell and so forth. And so he didn't know them from anybody. And he was just yelling these insults. And I begin to think in a way that I can only understand now as a 50-something year old. That I could not understand then. There are those who wanted that guy to be there and to hurl those insults out so they could convince people, look, that's what Christianity is. It's full of guilt and shame and hate. We serve a good God. He will never be anything less than a good God. And I say that term as a scriptural term, which means perfect in perfection. His love will always be perfect. His forgiveness will always be perfect. His grace will always be perfect. His timing will always be perfect. We will meet people who will try to persuade and who will try to convince and want people like that in order to try to dissuade people of faith to turn away. But you know better. And not just because your parents have taught you, because it is the truth, the Word of God. See, the challenge is today, give me just another minute. The challenge is today for our young people, really for all of us. The question, what is truth? Peter knew what truth was and he preached it. He saw the truth of Jesus born from the divine, who took on the sin of man, who died on the cross, who rose from the grave. He didn't preach with eloquence. He didn't preach with all kinds of illustrations. He just told the truth, and the truth was enough to set people free from the bondage of sin and death. But we're being told today in our culture that truth is something to be diverse. Now, I like that. You know, I heard for a long time that word diversity in the United Methodist Church. But it was couched. Because in that same phrasing, it meant we accept everybody and every thought except yours, John. Except for the traditionalist. Except for the conservative viewpoint. Well, that just doesn't seem right. In this scripture, they were all in one place, and they were all of one accord and of one mind, even though the Spirit gave them a diversity of language. Oh, I believe in diversity. I believe that all people upon this earth can receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But I do not believe in the diversity of all faiths point to the same thing. No, they do not. Do not fall for those misguided conceptions. Truth isn't what you make it to be. Truth is what truth is. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say, I am a way, a truth, and a life. No, he is the way, the truth, and the life. We will pray for you. We will always be a support for you in this church. And I know your parents will, but I want you to know God is as well. And he's still working in you a maturing and growing in faith. And that's mature faith, folks. It's growing in faith, growing in being obedient unto the Lord. Well, there's a lot more I could say, but I want you to remember some of these things. If I say too much, it's kind of like a steady diet. You don't remember everything you eat. Do you remember what meal you had a year ago on this day? Probably not. But you know you probably ate. You won't remember what you've eaten today a year from now, but you ate. That's what church does for you, folks. That's what a regular diet in God's Word does for you. We might not remember everything we've read, but it is a steady diet of faith. Choose your friends wisely. If people are going to put you down for your faith, they're not your friends. If people are going to try to get you to do things that aren't faith-filled, they're not your friends. Choose your friends wisely. That isn't just for young folks. That's for us too, isn't it? That's for everybody. Choose your friends wisely. People who will build you up. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day of Pentecost and this day of graduation Sunday. And God, we just celebrate with each of these young people all the things that they have accomplished so far. And God, we pray that we'll accomplish going forth. And God, we just know, we claim, you are with them not only today, but your Spirit will be with them always. And God, help us know how to continue to love and embrace and to encourage along the way. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our risen Lord and Savior. Amen.